بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء لا يرد بين الأذان والإقامة. رواه أبو داود والترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن. In the last two ahadith that we discussed pertaining to the great benefit of the dua after adhan, what we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that dua, and what is promised. The first hadith, just to recap, narrator Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous dua, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. In that hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever recites that dua, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, my intercession, my shafa'at will become halal, will become promised for that person on the day of judgment. And as we mentioned, that this promise of shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reality confers two very great promises upon the person who will get this basharat or glad tidings. One is that you will die on iman, because the shifaat of Rasulullah s.a.w. is impossible for a kafir. So, hallat lahu shafa'ati, in this is the promise of maut on iman, husni khatima. And the second is the promise and the basharat and glad tidings of jannat. Because shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the objective. Emancipation or salvation from Jahannam and entry into Jannah. So, dua after azan, that is the first promise. One is husne khatima, maut on iman. And the second is entry into Jannah. The second hadith, wherein we find this additional dua after azan. The first dua, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, is quite common. A lot of our places we see this dua written in our wuzukanas, etc., or on plaques or posters in our masjids. Second dua, not that common, but we find that this is a sahih hadith in Muslim Sharif, where this additional dua we make after azan, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, raditu billahi rabba wa bi Muhammad rasula wa bil islami deena. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises or mentions, ghufira lahu dhanbuhu, all your sins will be forgiven. So already three very great benefits are mentioned. In this last hadith of this chapter, Babu Fadlil Adhan, the chapter which deals with the virtue of Adhan, that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought, is the riwayat of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any dua that is made, any dua or supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is made between azan and iqamat will never be rejected by Allah. La yurad. This is such a powerful expression. La yurad. For example, we find this month of Ramadan just passed. We know of the virtue of the dua at the time of iftar. And we find in hadith this expression, ad-dua inda al-iftar la yurad. Dua that is made at the time of iftar will never be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that same expression, and that same opportunity we are getting five times every day. Dua between azan and iqamat. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, thintan la yaruddan, thintan la yaruddan, o qallama yuraddan, ad-dua inda al-nida wa inda al-ba's khina yuljimu ba'duhum ba'da. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two duas, or two periods of time of dua, are very, very accepted by Allah. They will never be rejected. They will never be denied. Or it is very rare that the dua at this time will be rejected or denied. One time, obviously, we can gauge how powerful or how much emphasis Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed upon this. From the second of the two moments when dua will never be rejected. He said it is the height of jihad. You are on the battlefield fighting the enemy for the protection and preservation of iman and deen. He says at the height of the battle, when the swords are raised and the two armies are raging against each other, one side iman, the other side kufr, at that time dua is not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is rare that it is rejected. And this level of acceptance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is the dua at the time of the gap between azan and iqamat. So from this, indirectly is this fadilat and virtue that with our salah, come early. Come so that there is enough time, first of all, for you to listen to the azan. And then to respond to the azan. Then to, obviously, our sunan, our nawafil, whatever it may be. And then, there must be this opportunity for us to raise our hands in dua. If you're going to rush and come last minute, obviously that opportunity is not there. So, in the riwayat of Tirmizi Sharif, look at the service that the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rendered to the Ummat. We find in that riwayat, when Sahaba heard this virtue, when they heard this virtue where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الدُّعَاء لَا يُرَدُّ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ Dua between azan and iqamat will never be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They immediately didn't leave it to their logic. The moment it comes in our minds, you know what, dua will never be rejected. So what? Let me ask dua for dunya or some worldly problem I'm facing or some difficulty, etc. All that is in its place. What did Sahaba do? They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what dua should we ask? You are telling us that between azan and iqamat, dua is never rejected. What should we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for at that time? And we find that an overriding principle when it comes to dua, that we find this theme in many of the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and many of the exhortations of dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, an overriding principle is that in dua of what we call jami'iyat, that comprehensive. What you ask for must be comprehensive. A lot of times we like to engage in lengthy things. When you engage in something too lengthy, then you lose focus. In dua, we are taught, let your dua be comprehensive. For example, it is mentioned in hadith, the most common dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. In fact, Anas radiallahu anhu says that whenever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua, this particular dua, you'd find it in the beginning, in the middle, at the end. Now, this is the most common dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make. And like I said, the principle in dua is jami'iyat, comprehensive. So if you look at it, what was it? Atina fid dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhab an-nar. What is striking about this dua? Ya Allah, give me the good of this world, the good of akhirat, and save me from jahannam. In other words, it's a very, very comprehensive dua. That everything is found. Your dunya, your qabr, akhirat, jannat, everything is found in one dua, one expression. So, coming back to this, Sahaba asked this question that, Ya Rasulullah, between azan and iqamat, dua is accepted at that time particularly. Sahaba were not like you and I. They were going to take advantage of it. They were going to make dua at that time when they heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him that, what should we ask for? So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salullaha al-afiya. Salullaha al-afiya fi dunya wal-akhirah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. Ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. Allahumma inni asaluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. We hear this term very, very often. Sometimes, you know, elderly people in our community also, whenever we meet them to make dua for afiyat. Make dua for afiyat. This is a very, very powerful thing that we should be asking for. Afiyat. Now the question We'll pick up some English translation as to what is afiyat. Before I go into that, just to recap, Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that dua is accepted between azan and iqamat. This means that the door of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, the door of Allah Ta'ala's mercy opens at this time. However, he says that this is conditional. They are shurut. When did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, open your hands in dua, Allah's mercy is open, this is a time that you must ask. Ask for afiyat. When? If you combine all these ahadiths, they have to be 5 sunnats that should be fulfilled before getting this virtue. Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi mentions, what are these 5 sunnats? Firstly, reply to the azan by repeating the words of the azan and listening attentively to them. That is the first sunnat. The second sunnat, send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here also many of us are remiss in this. We start immediately after the giving jawab to the azan, we start Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamam. No, what we learn in hadith, first sallu alayya. Immediately after listening to the azan, send salawat, read one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then recite these du'as. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'ima ati muhammadan al-wasila wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan al-ladhi wa'atta. And we find in the riwayat of Tabarani, the addition, innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. Thereafter, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahda la sharika la wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام وبمحمد رسولا وبالإسلام دينا. So first reply to the azan by repeating the words, then send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then read both these du'as, and thereafter raise your hands in du'a, and particularly based on the riwayat of Tirmizi Sharif, when you raise your hands in dua, at that time, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat. What is afiyat? Obviously, we've run out of time, so inshallah we'll continue. But this term of afiyat is a very, very comprehensive thing, which we should be asking for in our du'as. And the reason I'm stopping now, we've run out of time, is that obviously this is not something that, like in English, you get one word to translate it. Afiyat is something very, very jami' and very comprehensive. So based on Quran and ahadith and what the ulama have gleaned, many, many things are contained in this expression of afiyat. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.